Today on Invasion of Privacy, we are joined by Lisa Ann, who talks about the porn industry.
And of course, Kate gives her a tarot card reading.
You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. Today we have a special guest, Lisa Ann.
She's here.
We've actually never done that.
Yeah. And we just fucking did that again.
Wow,
okay.
All of this is just happening. You should start rapping next. Let's have a rap battle, okay?
I'm not a good rapper. That's a secret ambition of mine, though, to become a rapper. Like, when I listen to rap music, I really relate
to that energy. I agree with you, and it makes me work out so much harder. Rap music, like, we're talking about always being strapped. I'm running, okay? I'm on the treadmill, and I'm like, it's the only place
I get out.
Is that
how you work out? You do treadmill?
I do.
I want to kill myself when I'm on the treadmill. I can't. It's so boring.
It wasn't until I got my boobs reduced when I retired that I was able to run for the very first time in my adult life.
First of all, let's tell our audience.
Did not know that shit.
Dropped a bomb on you.
This is news to me.
We have to tell everyone. So Lisa Ann, you are a retired porn star.
I am. I'm a retired porn star. We walk around just like other people do. We try to exist in society. I'm getting a lot of pushback. I'm understanding there's two things that happen when people are in front of me now in the new world. It's like they really can't judge or shame me because, of course, we've given Caitlyn Jenner multiple awards for making a choice that was just a choice. And this was just a choice of my choice. Mm-hmm. But yet there's this inner conflict with their own guilt. And so when I see a guy like having this thing in his mind, I say to him, so do you think that we're all supposed to be like housed in like porno halfway houses when we retire? And we're not supposed to go out and like be in front of you as people who like saved their money and made something of themselves. And they get just like, I'm like, that would be great, right? The house should probably be on webcam so you could watch everything I do and beat off all day.
Exactly.
And then if we did get
He's like, I just want to tell you your shoe's untied, ma'am.
If we did get out, we would want to have sex with every random person we saw because, of course, because we were porn star, the only thing we do in life is have sex.
Do you get hit on more than most people, do you think, or less?
It would be nice if there was an approach that was like a hit on.
I was going to say, because you're obviously an attractive
generation. You know it. You're clicking with me. I know. Yep.
No, but you're obviously an attractive person, so people are going to hit on you regardless. But I was going to ask if, well, the same question as you, but kind of the opposite. It was going to be like, are dudes intimidated because you are a porn star?
It's the opposite. They're either extremely demanding, why wouldn't you want to have sex with me? I'll give you this much money. You know, and I'm like, well, I'm not a prostitute. And then I have to have what's the difference between a prostitute and a porn star?
I have to go through
all these facts. Well, being a porn star is legal. We get tested. We're making a product. We're creating jobs. Prostitution is illegal. You know, all these things. But you did it on camera. Like, this is the back and forth I normally get. So that loser is definitely not getting any.
Right.
my selective process is pretty simple. I just reach out to people who have more to lose than I do and who live in more fear than I do. So that would be athletes or other celebrities. And by just being with me could ruin their whole life. So they're extremely careful about our relationship, very respectful. And it works out flawless.
That's actually a really good strategy.
Yeah.
It's working.
Now that you said that.
Are you dating right now? Like, are you looking for someone to really connect with? Like, do you want that really deep relationship? What's going on?
I do. I'm ready for a one-on-one relationship. I've had a lot of fun with a lot of people and I lived a nice free life and enjoyed that. But there is one guy that I've known since 2007. And he's been, you know, really always there for me. And I never would get in a serious relationship when I was in the business. And that was my rule. Because having sex with someone you care about, if for me, I couldn't go and have sex with someone else that I didn't care about.
Right.
It just felt like cheating. So it's not something that I could balance out in my mind. So I stayed single my whole career.
Wow.
Then this year has been spent just kind of decompressing, finishing my book.
Reduction.
Running, you know, sleeping more, and learning about myself. And it's really come to me over these past 3 months. You know, I write a little journal and I really log my thoughts because I learned from writing that helps you so much. And I've realized, like, it's not just a phase. I am ready. I know what I want. I'm into this nesting. I don't really like being out anymore because people are super aggressive for photos with me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're not, and like the younger generation, they're not like, if I say no, they say fuck you then, like to my face at the Knicks game.
Do you get that?
By the 20-30s of them. Like, yeah. Fuck you then. Like, they people are they like,
you know what it is? People just expect you to, but they don't understand that, like, you're giving, you already have, are giving them a product. Like, that I'm doing, that's for you.
And you're stealing my porn.
Exactly.
And you're enjoying you on YouTube for free.
Exactly.
What the fuck do I owe you something for?
Exactly. So it's like, if you're going to ask for a picture, that's like, it's a bonus. Just know that it's a bonus and it's not part of a job.
It's almost like they're owed it.
They do feel entitled to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah. And if yeah. I'm at an event, I do pictures the whole time. Like when I hosted a club, I'm one of those girls that doesn't drink. So I will just stand there for my whole 3 hours and have the security guy line people up and one at a time take pictures and talk with everybody. Right. That's just what I'm going to do. It's going to fly by.
Yeah.
But when I'm at a Knicks game, guys will jump down seats and sit next to me the second somebody leaves. And it's actually
that's
frightful.
So weird.
And then we'll be going at it. And then I go at it with them. I'm like, so what do you like to do on your time off? Oh, I like to go to games. Do you like your fucking people talking to you on your time off? Like,
exactly.
I go through this whole thing with them. They still don't get it. And then they'll tweet at me like, so bummed you didn't give me that fucking picture. That was such a bitchy move. Like, wow. So it's come to the point where all I want to do is be home,
yeah.
watching movies, doing my thing, working for Sirius, doing my sports stuff, cooking every meal. And that really is the perfect time to want to be in a one-on-one relationship.
Yeah, I feel like it would be scary to be you because it's not like you're 6'5".
Right.
You're small.
Yeah.
How tall are you? Like
5'2".
5'2".
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it's not like I made Kim Kardashian money where I can employ 3 security guards to go with me. I'm rolling solo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
So it's like if a dude, because like I've heard stories of like dudes who are just like super aggressive, like even with someone who isn't a porn star, that just makes it worse.
Right.
It just heightens the whole like their whole mood and just will be like, well, why won't you?
Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon.
Do you get scared a lot?
I do. People and I tell people, like, you don't understand, like, the guy had a kid run up on me leaving a hockey game and he went to grab my arm to get my attention for a photo, like in the parking lot in the middle of nowhere. My girlfriend and I were like yapping, my purse went flying everywhere, these cops saw it, thought he was mugging us, he's caught, and it was such a fucking scene. I looked at this kid, I'm like, dude,
that's so fucking
you
weird.
Literally had me in fight or flight, like, where's my gun mode? I'm going to blow your fucking head off. Like, I carry a knife with me in the city, and
really?
It's always in my hand. I have no fucking problem putting it at some guy's throat. None at all. The cops have told me, you tell them it was self-defense, we will completely believe you because we see you getting harassed all the time. Just stab him in the right spot.
Do you think
you'd
be able to get the knife out in time? Or you'd be so flustered.
I would stand there and kick the shit out of the guy and then Instagram that shit. Are you kidding? I would send a message.
I like you, Lisa.
I want the blood pool to get bigger in every photo, okay? I want it to be a great Insta
a time
video.
Lapse.
Well,
yeah.
I clearly do not get harassed like either one of you, but just when you're getting catcalled walking down the street, I try to explain to guys who are like, take a compliment. I'm like, that's not you literally, because guys are bigger than you, and when they're in groups, you feel scared because you're like, you guys could take me down.
Don't you feel that women should be allowed to carry paintball guns? And then every time a guy catcoddles us, we should be able to paintball shoot him back because it's not really hurting them. But maybe to us, we can consider that a compliment. And we'd be like, hey, I marked my territory now. But bam, I would love to rock a paintball.
Or like a flash grenade. You just toss it and fucking explodes. Everyone goes blind for like a minute.
I like to emotionally wound them. I like to walk.
Oh, I do too.
I like to walk right up and break them down.
I found myself now getting into these conversations and making it really fucking dark.
That's what I like to do. I like to go up, especially when they're in a group of guys and they're literally just calling at you like, hey, you're hot, you know, especially if they say something like,
hey,
about
mama,
my pussy.
Why don't you bring that ass over here?
I just go up and I go, you clearly didn't want to fuck me because if you did, you wouldn't use that approach. So what
say,
are you
go
really
fuck
doing?
Your mother.
Really?
Yeah. It's effective. It offends older Italian men big time. Like, what? How could you say that to me?
Yeah.
Same level, yo. You just came at my ass.
Which is mostly what they are, like the construction guys for the most part.
Italians, yeah.
But I remember, I think I've said this before on the podcast, like an older episode, but I was leaving my girlfriend's apartment one time. She lives in the city, and there was like construction at like the corner of her block, and I was walking through, and I'm me, you know what I mean? So I'm just walking through, and I'm like, I started feeling like, this is weird.
Yeah.
But, like, no one was saying anything to me, but I just like felt like they're looking at
they
me, and I was like, I know
the
they were.
Shit out of you. They were eye fucking the shit out of you,
like,
and you felt it.
I was like, I know none of them want to fuck me, but it's just weird to know that like they're all girl looking like at people walking by. I was like, I can't imagine if I was like a girl.
It's what made me switch to flats.
I can't imagine if it were you. You just must have those eyes on you constantly.
I try to look, if I'm going to look nice, if I'm in heels, it's always a car. I don't walk unless it's only a couple blocks. But I went to flats because flats are so much easier in the city and you can book away from somebody if you're scared and it draws less attention.
Are you in flats today?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Say, yeah.
Boots allow you to be in flats and be okay. It's so much safer, man. You can run. So, and then when it comes to just walking around when I'm not working, I look like the Unabomber. I wear a hat, a hoodie, big shades. Like, I'll walk my doorman's like, don't want to talk to anybody today, do you? Nope, it's one of those days. So I just hide.
Yeah.
No one will recognize
me. Do you live in the city now?
I do. I live part-time here, part-time L.A. Nice. I go back and forth. It's a nice
little
mix.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is my first year enjoying it where I can go to L.A. on the weekends and just enjoy the weather. Before, I was feature dancing on the weekends, so it was not what it is now. It's great.
Do you? I hope this isn't a stupid question. Do you like to dance? Like, dance? Do you know what I mean?
I like to dance. And this guy that I'd like to get serious with, dance. I'd like to, on my checklist for my dude that I want to have, this one-on-one relationship with, I would like to know he's willing to take dance classes.
See, that's what I'm asking, because I feel like you have dance
what
energy.
What kind of dance class, though?
Whatever he wants. Just something that if we went out together, we could rock that shit a little bit. You know what I mean? Pull away from the crowd. Be different.
Be like in one of those teen movies where suddenly you break off and have a choreographed dance.
Exactly like that. Next thing you know, it opens up. We're doing the slide. Yeah. You know?
That's kind of like how it is with because my girlfriend's a dancer. She dances for like some company.
Bar mitzvah company.
She's like one of those motivational dancers or whatever. So like when we go out, we're always like the first people out there who are dancing, whatever. And I think this past Halloween, we were the only people. And I was just like, and she's a dancer. And I'm like, not a fucking dancer, obviously. So I was just like, all right, well, whatever. I'm just like hammered. I'm like, she probably looks way better than
though?
I do.
Like, are you okay?
I have rhythm. Not like, you know, super white guy. But
would you take dance classes with her?
She actually asked me to take a ballroom dancing class. And I was like, I'm not going to take a ballroom dance
class. Now, that's a bad idea. I think you should do this. If you like this girl, it's not only something you're doing for her, but it is a skill that you're going to bring to the next girl.
But like a ballroom?
I'm just telling, why not?
I don't know.
If you guys go to a wedding or a family function, it's fantastic to know the ballroom dancing. What could
they
be wrong with that?
They don't play ballroom music at weddings, do they?
You like can bust a out fucking ballroom to some Jay-Z. You see him and B do it all the time.
Do they?
Never seen that.
They dance.
They do ballroom dancing?
I've seen them dance very nicely. I think they can probably dance on one foot, you know, and while spinning a basketball on their fingers.
But I have so many questions I want to ask you.
All right.
If you met your dude and you guys are together, how would you feel? How would you handle it if he cheated on you? And it was only a sexual cheat, not like an emotional.
You know, it's such a tough thing with cheating. And I think that this Charlie Sheen moment that we're all seeing can help really bring the world back down to speed a little bit about what you're bringing into other people's lives. I know many married men in my life that I disapprove of the fact that they're not faithful to their wives. And believe me, the first day this story broke, I sent malicious emails to every one of them that said, I hope you didn't bring any of this shit home to your wife with those whores you were fucking that I know fuck Charlie Sheen. Like, it disappoints me because it's the moral fiber of what you could do and bring home now. It's much different. It's not just like cheating. You can bring somebody herpes. You can bring somebody anything. And most people don't know, you know, when girls would get in the business, 7 out of 10 times their first test comes back dirty for either chlamydia or gonorrhea, and they never knew they had it.
Jesus. Wow.
So that goes to show you how unregulated the younger population is and how things can get out of hand quickly. And so it would bother me more on a moral level, and it would make me wonder what it is that he couldn't come to me. I would be more understanding if he said, can we go on vacation and bring in another girl. It's not something I really want to do. I want to bring into my life, but if it's going to please him and I'm going to feel like it's in a safe place and I can be sure there's a condom worn, I'm okay with it. But if he says he cheated on me, I'm not going to believe him if he says he used a condom.
Yeah.
Because now I don't believe anything you say. So it's a tough one.
And it's also when you're in an intimate relationship, you want to be able to trust the person.
Of course.
So for me, what I always say is it's to each his own, right? Everyone has different flavors, what they're into.
I agree.
That's great. We need to embrace our differences, but be honest.
Be honest, because in my life that I've lived for the past so many years, it's been not a problem for everybody to wear a condom with me, because they know for me, if I'm not using a condom, it's because I'm in a serious relationship. That's my rule in life. Like,
yeah.
I don't bend it. So, and it's like when you're promiscuous and they're promiscuous, it's this even thing coming together where neither of you want to take a chance.
Yeah.
And it's open and it's honest. But in a shared relationship, you hope that you both do better.
Yeah.
Because that's a big failure.
I like that. I was really curious how you'd feel about that. But I think, yeah, what it does come down to is just honesty and being able to trust the person.
And in relationships, I think one of the main reasons people cheat is because they drift on that connection they initially felt, that value that one person brought them, that feeling of being special. It gets boring and it gets dull. And if you don't do date night or take vacations or whatever it is you can do to keep that alive, it just becomes another business in your life. And then someone feels neglected and gets attention out there from somebody else. And it's that easy to fall into that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people approach relationships, too, where they're like, they want that person to save them or fill a void, right, whether or not they're conscious of it. And then when that person, when it gets old in whatever way, or if they don't fix the person, then they want to go get fixed somewhere
else.
And men
are more likely to be serial daters. And what I mean by that is they will almost have the next girl lined up and ready before they break off with the other. Whereas women,
100%,
we're like cats, you know, we want to have the breakup happen and then have like 6 months with our friends and do all this other shit we want to accomplish.
Analyze the whole thing, too.
Analyze the whole thing, go on a couple really bad dates just for fun. But then we open again to possibly wanting something serious.
Yeah.
Guys are much different.
You're the
Why
guy.
Did you guys look at me?
Look at you.
I think you should surprise her for Christmas and do the ballroom dancing with her.
Aw.
That'd be hella romantic.
Their 1 year anniversary is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, what are you guys going to do? Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
When is this air?
Hopefully we'll do it. We'll air this one Thursday if that's cool. Yeah.
I mean, regardless.
Well, and everyone's listening to it when it's Happy Thursday.
You don't want to ruin the gift.
No, I don't. So, but I mean, it's not going.
It's going out Thursday.
Right. So, I mean, this Wednesday. She had like mentioned it like briefly because when we the day we met, she told me she had like, I don't know how, but the conversation got to like your fears or whatever. And she was talking about how she's afraid of bridges and the Statue of Liberty. I don't know why, but whatever. But immediately I drove over a bridge and she was freaking out the whole time. But she's afraid of heights and shit. But then one day she said that she would like to go, like we were driving on like the FDR and we saw a helicopter. She goes, oh, that would be cool. She just like mentioned it one day. So I booked a helicopter tour.
Oh my God. And then, you just made me so depressed and sad
about
my life.
That's so amazing. And you know what? I don't blame her about the Statue of Liberty. It's kind of old and dilapidated. When I was in fifth grade, we got to climb all the way to the
Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, because back then it used to be open to tourists.
Oh, right,
you know,
right.
Remember, it was.
It's not open to tourists anymore?
It was completely refinished the day before Sandy hit and knocked part of it out again. And it's such an old structure that it is a risky thing for it to be. So, yeah, that was cool going up there. This, she'll love the helicopter.
Hopefully.
This is romantic. You're
That's a great.
Take
I just can't. It did make me feel a little bit extra alone when you said that. I was like, gee, this dude, they're going on helicopter rides.
I think
rides.
It's fantastic. He's making an effort.
No, he's killing it. I'm just like, man, I masturbated up, you know, late last night watching unnecessary porn. And I'm just like,
unnecessary.
And this dude, yeah, we can get into that.
It's okay.
What is unnecessary
it all,
porn?
It all ebbs and flows. You know what I mean? Glory.
Thank you.
Yes.
Unnecessary porn is. For me, it's porn that starts to go to a darker place. So I try to stay away from porn because I quickly, we've talked about this.
Yeah, I don't know what you're...
But yeah.
I'm going to get comfortable because I see...
Strap in, Lisa.
Oh, this is already feeling great.
Yeah,
all right?
Here we go.
Talk about this like you're on my couch.
Well, when I was four. No, I started watching porn when I was like probably in high school. And
because
back then,
you had the internet.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you watched on VHS?
You?
Oh, your
the
parents?
Like friends and like, yeah, like VHSs.
Well, it was the illegal cable box. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but
yeah.
You know what? It was never clear. The porn channel was never clear. And by the way, the porn on the cable back then, there was no penny. They showed no penetration.
No.
It was like softcore
soft.
From the side angle.
No
like,
penny.
Everyone's you know bumping what I mean? Monkeys.
Yeah, we were just
no
doing
penny.
Because the director would yell, yo, no penny for this shot. I'm like, all right, no penetration. We got that. But yeah, it took a turn for crazier.
But I used to still, because like when you're young and you're not used to seeing stuff, I was able to watch that and be like into
oh,
it.
Of course.
You're just like, oh my God,
kids
boobs
were beating
and
off the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Yes, exactly.
That wasn't enough.
I've jerked off when I was younger in the bathroom by myself to a magazine and the girl was wearing a sweater.
She could be with Self Magazine in a fitness outfit. I still think she's hotter than some of the porn.
It doesn't even
so.
Have to be tight.
Absolutely.
It doesn't
yeah.
even have to be tight.
I, gotcha.
As long, I know it's that there's tits under there.
Yeah, there's a
so
girl.
So I'm just going to picture it.
Yeah.
And that's
well,
good
that's
enough.
Whole, in many
that's
ways, that's hotter. So, okay. So then I went to college and I remember going to like a porn store and like getting some DVDs and I'd watch. And now like, and now it got kicked up a notch, right? Where I'm
so
like double. Like now we're going to like double penetration. One in the vag, one in the butt. And I'm like,
okay.
All right, right? Then,
it's kind of the progression of my career, so I know exactly what you're talking about right now. Okay.
But then, like,
start
at a certain point, like, I almost had to keep getting more extreme for me to even like feel something.
Right.
So what this is something that's going on in your personal life right now, and something that's surrounding you is making you have to tap into something darker. When I was at the most stressed point of me having an agency and being very busy with Palin and trying to balance all these careers, I was actually requiring really rough sex in my personal life. Like, I wanted the guy to choke me, and that's not like me at all. Like, I don't like any of that stuff. And so I did the psychoanalyst, and I went and talked to a bunch of people, and I said, why am I going to this dark place sexually? And they said, because everything else is so intense in your life right now that you have to get past that level to find any pleasure zone.
Makes
so that's
sense.
Where it put me, and that's mm-hmm. when I realized, all right, I need to remove some things from my life, and I really need to, because I will tell you that I have a sex injury, a scar right there from having careless sex. And yeah, so that's why you're going
across
there.
Nose there.
Yes, I smacked my face on my headboard.
Oh my God.
My wooden headboard was slammed right into
Jesus.
It.
Jesus.
It wasn't pleasant. I told the kid to leave or I'd kill him with my own bare hands. And then I drove myself to a CVS with blood all over my face and all over my body.
Oh, you were bleeding a lot.
With a grip of cash. Looked at the like 16-year-old behind the counter. It was like 2 in the morning. I'm like, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk around the store right now. We're going to buy all the shit we need. I'm going to lay on the floor with a mirror. You're going to clean. He probably thought I was like some gunshot rape, like a gang unit person, right? Like I had just been a gangbanger and been shot. He laid me down. I laid there. I was so worried about my eyebrows. I didn't want any heavy tape on.
In the middle of CVS.
In the middle of CVS, in the middle of the night. What are my other choices? I live alone.
So you were like,
I'm not telling
what do you do,
any
stitch
of my
you?
Fucking friends because they would laugh too hard. No, I just had to butterfly it so I could make it home so I could start researching plastic surgeons I was going to call the next day. But I needed to get to that point, and I couldn't stand up and do it because the blood was just spitting out of my head. Both my eyes were black and blue by the next day. I'm lucky I didn't break a bone, but yeah.
What was going on?
I was being careless sexually, and it was just something that we were doing that I shouldn't have been doing.
Okay, that's where you want to leave
it. Yeah, but that place is where I was at. I would have never been careless like that. I'll tell you what it was. I was having unprotected sex, and he was going to come, and I flipped out. And he pushed me off him too hard and slammed me into the headboard.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that's just as bad as going to a dark place, because that is a dark place. That's doing something I shouldn't have been doing.
No, so. I agree. It's making a decision that's not in alignment with your soul, not taking care of yourself.
Is this productive to who I am right now?
No. How strong is this guy that he fucking threw you and broke your fucking nose?
I think it was more the fear of potentially getting me pregnant and me killing him. Was probably part of the motivation, you know?
Yeah.
Because on set, I would look at the guy before the scene, because remember, on camera, we couldn't use condoms.
Yeah.
And I would tell the guy, you fucking come inside me and I will kill you. You will not leave here. I will take your car and all of your belongings. That will be it for you. And my directors would stand behind and be like, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
She's told us to get rid of the bodies. And
she's killed
it's
people.
It's happened to a guy or two before. We can't talk about that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, too, about that. Like, because I used to work for a company, Elite Daily, and we did a piece on
I know Elite Daily.
Oh, yeah. So I used to work there. And we did a piece on a porn star and his like personal life, and he was saying a lot of the times, like, sometimes you don't even know who you're working with until you get there,
right?
And like you kind of meet them. Does that make it like harder, or is like
my career was much different? Because when I got in the business in the 90s, everything was a choice, and we were treated like whatever you don't want to do, you don't do. So I met every guy I worked with, and I didn't work, even though I was as popular as I was. I didn't shoot 20 scenes a month. I wasn't meeting strangers. I had about the same 10 guys I worked with. I did 2 or 3 shoots a month. You know, I kept it going. But for the guys, it's much different. They're working 20 days a month. And for the guys, there's New Girls series. There's so many series with girls. They're happy to work with one of the top 10 porn stars. They know who they're working with the day they're working with that girl, right?
Right.
But as for the other girls, some of the guys would tell me it kind of makes it exciting because they're so disappointed by some of the girls. And some of the girls, if they know they don't like her, but they have to work with her anyway, they'd rather not know on the way there. Like, one of my favorite guys to work with, just because he was fun, was always Mr. Pete. He was just a silly guy. He would never let the director tell him who he was working with because he didn't want to get into his head if he had a bad experience with her before, if he overanalyzes the situation. He looked at every day like it was the same. So we would always fuck with him. Like, if there was a housekeeper or something at the location,
like,
I'd be like,
this is who.
Yo, I'm hiding back in the room. You go out, you tell Pete he's working with her today. It's a new series, you know? We had so much fun that the mood was very light, and I liked that about the business.
Did you ever, while you were being filmed, get really into it and actually get wet, or was it normally like
I always did, and again, this is a product of me being from the 90s, before the Viagra era, we had to be intimate with each other. So back then, we would usually start our scene in another room, we'd be kissing and touching. Wow. And back then, the directors would have you go into a room alone and sit and talk with each other and say what things you did like and what things you didn't like. And it was such a great open experience, because a guy would say, you know, if you kiss my neck behind my ear, it always makes me hard again. Or like everyone could tell you they're automatic, so you could help them throughout the day. And as a girl, we didn't use lube on set back then unless it was anal. And none of the contract girls in the 90s did anal. So you had to be wet and you had to be into it and your skin had to be flushed and they wanted to be sure that it was real and you were shooting for so much longer that it was impossible to just act it out. Whereas now with a handheld camera, some of these scenes can be shot in 20 minutes. So no one really has to care how into you can get in 20 minutes. But when you have to get the guy hard, you're shooting on film, they stop shooting, relight the room, move things around, you have to keep him hard, you become connected. And I love that part of the intimacy I found in the early 90s, because when I meet the girls now, most of the girls now are like, I don't know who I'm working with today. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to look up his picture? What if he's hideous? Like, doesn't that freak you out at all? I cannot have sex with someone I'm not attracted to. So I just found it bizarre that this was going on, and it just became a way of that they just don't care.
Yeah, that's how I, like, when I was watching, because we filmed a video about him, like, while I was watching it back, I was kind of thinking, like, that was like, that sounds weird. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you show up and it's kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? And then, yeah, we're going to fuck and pretend. Yeah, I'm going to pretend you're my fucking sister or some shit. That's like, that makes it even weirder. Because, like, you show up, you have no idea who this person is. Now you're like, okay, we're related. Uh-huh. And we're going to fuck. So it's going to be sick.
But if
it's
you, like, love Tinder, like the world loves Tinder.
Yeah,
it's also pretty exciting showing up on set, knowing that you're going to have sex with someone who's tested, knowing you're in a safe place with other people. There's no risk to you getting hurt or attacked by this person. And you're walking out of there with a paycheck. The whole thing's pretty dynamic. I mean, when I was like at peak working with the guys I loved, and I knew that day, like, oh my God, I'm going to have an orgasm today, and then I'm not going to talk to anybody.
So you'd have an orgasm on set?
Why wouldn't I? Why would I waste that time and have to interact with boys on my free time? Like, if I was like, I can be in my car by 2, I already came, I'm hitting the gym, and I'm going to watch TV all night, I'm stoked, you know? Like, so yeah. Wow. And I made it my thing. And, you know, people always ask me, like, what made you so popular? I really just think it was because it was real for me. And I didn't fake my situations. I didn't work with people I didn't want to. I didn't make chemistry that wasn't there. I didn't take money for things I didn't want to do.
Right.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, see, we've talked about this. My vagina doesn't even flinch for someone. And unless there's like a weird, deep connection. And I have a joke about it where I'm like, I'll be talking to someone, I think we're just friends, and my vagina will flinch. And I'll be like, him? Really? Like, sometimes I don't even know.
So you have to go into your own place, and I think probably shooting triggered me. Was like, if I give a blow, when I'm giving a blowjob, I'm getting wet. Like, to me, it's a trigger. It's like probably trained from the business, right? But it's something that I love to do, and it's part of my oral fixation. So that is all I need. And then if somebody kisses me, because some people in more movies don't kiss. Like, sometimes the guys come on set or the girls come on set and they tell you that their new partner at home, their new boyfriend or girlfriend, doesn't want them kissing in the scene. And it's like, it's a bummer for somebody who that takes it to the next level. Yeah. So I had to find. So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How long have you been going into this dark place onto the internet looking at this stuff? Because I'm intrigued.
So let's see.
This is turning into a therapy session.
Yeah, no, I'm like, let's do this. When did I start getting into, like, the darker porn?
Like, the porn where the guy, like, fucking smacks her, spits on her, and fucking...
The scene is most likely in a restroom.
Hey.
The scene is most likely in a restroom.
In a restroom. Like, a truck stop.
There's a toilet.
It's filmed on...
I've watched some not-so-great
There's, like, a camcorder
scenes.
Filter for it.
Yeah. I would say I started getting into, like, some of that darker stuff probably about, like, 5 or 6 years ago, definitely after my divorce.
Okay.
And, you know, with my therapist / spiritual healer person, we have talked about it's about me facing my inner monsters, my inner demons.
Sure. And then what you're doing
these
is
places,
you're going into a dark place, and then you probably pull out of it. Like, I'll tell you, with me and alcohol, I'm not a good drinker. I can drink soft liquor only, beer and wine. If I'm going to have wild sex with my dude, then I'm going to do some Jameson at home and I'm not going to leave. But there's no mixing. There's no drinking, because I have so much guilt the next day that I have this internal conflict that goes on all day about how mad I am, that I'm not going to get to work out as hard and I'm not going to get to be as focused. So what you're doing is a double torture, because after you watch it, you feel twice as bad as the pleasure that it gave you. And now you're right back in that place. And it's a vicious cycle.
I was talking to my friend Ellie. She's been on here about it. Cause she, I won't share her stuff anyway, but, she understands that what's happening is it's about me facing. So if pain's coming up for me, But it's also about facing, I've talked about this, I feel like we all have an inner murderer, an inner rapist right. within us.
Right.
Most of us don't want to face those darker parts in right. ourselves. I'm trying very much to go there, to go to the depths of myself as a way to kind of feel free,
right.
be who I am. And I think part of me watching that is trying to get in touch with those
yeah.
things. But like you said, afterwards, I feel awful. Because first of all, I try to stay away from porn anyway, because I... First of all, the porn that's not like crazy at this point almost doesn't even do anything for me.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know what I mean? It's almost just like, all right, next. So I don't know. Yeah, it's like a weird, interesting thing. But at the same time, I don't think anyone should have shame about their sexuality or wanting to watch porn.
But if you feel guilty about the level where it's at, see, in the 90s, we regulated that. We didn't give you that as a choice in the U.S. You could not see what you see today on the internet.
Now you can see anything.
Now you can see everything. There was no smacking, choking, spitting. There was no fisting. You couldn't have more than two fingers in a girl at a time. Like, there were so many rules.
There was a finger rule?
There was rules.
Just two fingers.
No thumbs.
People have gone to jail. There's company owners that have had one misstep in their scenes, and it got distributed in a state where it was illegal, and that fucking guy sits in jail for 20 years.
For a thumb?
Yeah.
One thumb could send you right to prison.
But now the internet opened it up to the point where there's so much out there that it's also pushing young people to go that route and young people to be more aggressive sexually and thinking that it's normal and it's really not normal. And so, like, everyone has to have willpower. I just read the book Willpower this weekend.
Okay.
Great book. I'm going to get it for you. I'm always sending my friends books. That's the first day I met Emilio. I sent him a book.
Did you really?
10% Happier by Dan Harris. Great book.
Okay.
But Willpower talks about, like, what are your goals and what do you want and what do you want to choose as what you're wasting is self-control that you're using towards willpower, and what do you just want to make a habit? So when you make it a habit, it no longer stresses you to choose. My example was I shave every day. No matter what, I want to be game ready. I feel like I have hope when I shave.
Everything, armpits, legs, vagina?
Everything. Once a week, my arms. Like, I don't fuck around with that because you know what? That's the day you meet the dude. That's the day you meet the dude. And do I want to be limited because I'm like, oh, I haven't shaved my armpits?
Lisa, let me tell you something. Me right now? You could have the longest pubic hair and a dude's going to fuck the shit out of you.
But I don't want that to be my first impression. I want to be game ready at all times. Okay. You're fully trained, ready to go.
I'm just making excuses. I'm like, I'm not going to be game ready ever.
And so one of the stories they talked about is a guy shaving that was on this wilderness retreat. And they asked him, why did you shave every day? It didn't matter. You're going to be in Africa for 3 months. He's like, because by making it a habit, it no longer took any of my self-control or will or energy to do it. And it was just something that kept me in the same place from where I was before.
Right.
So when people stop dating and they get out of a relationship and they let their body go and they don't shave and they don't do those things, that means they don't love themselves enough to want to do it just for themselves. And that means they were doing it for someone else. And now they kind of resent it. So I think it's all about creating the habits of, like, who you really want to feel like you want to be. It makes you feel sexier every day and it just becomes your habit. And you don't have to do as great of a job because if you miss a spot, you shave every day, you know? It's just something
that,
there are
going to be,
like,
asshole hairs that will always be
I
there
think
a little
that,
bit.
I think that it's, as a woman, I think that it's something that you should do just for you.
I'm not going to shave just for me because I hate... I mean, I also
My
even...
My best friend is the same fucking way, but she has blonde hair, so her hair's...
No, yeah, look at this.
She got lucky.
No.
But her legs look like that. And I'm like,
I shave my legs, but not a
lot. And I'm like, you're a fucking hero, man. The fact that you deal with that shit. I'd be waxing her in her sleep. I would duct tape her to the bed and wax her shit, you know? She's like, I just hate shaving.
Do you wax your vagina?
No, I can't let it grow for long enough to wax.
Oh, my gosh.
It bothers me too much because I have to shave every day.
Wow.
I know. Just one of my things. It's probably...
It's part of the habit. It's like brushing your teeth at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm so lazy. Like, even when it comes to taking a shower some days, I'm like, do I really... I did this 2 days
ago. It depends on your water head, I'll tell you. Because my apartment here in New York has the fucking best shower head I think I've ever had in my life. And I tried duplicating it at my house in LA, but it's not the same water pressure and it doesn't seem to work the same. But it's just such a good shower head that you want. You don't want to miss out on
being
in there,
be in there
once a day. And yeah... So okay. I mean, I think it's the shower head. You know when you're in a good hotel and has a great shower head, you want to be in there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm not a big shower person. Every now and then I'm like, this feels good.
Yeah.
I should remind
myself. You know what you
should
do? Get high first. Just a little weed.
Lisa,
nothing
no,
bad.
Listen, if I get
in some states it's legal.
When
don't
I
judge.
Get high, I remember that? I skyrocket through the universe in a way that's too much.
Here
do you know what I mean?
Go.
Like, I see the eye of God.
I want to do this with her.
Oh, God.
We tried doing
this.
A podcast. We had to cut it short because I was...
She sees wild shit.
I saw
okay,
angels.
But work is no good, but, like, the shower is the best place to be high. It just feels so
that,
much...
If I could get high the way you get high, that sounds amazing. I end up being like... I end up like going so fast into the answers of why it's too much.
Doesn't work for you.
It's too much.
We might keep her away from the Mary Jane then. We might keep her away from the Mary Jane.
When I drink, I start crying about all the pain of the world that I can feel.
Drinking is just a depressant. I just don't get it. It's just a depressant. Honestly, I don't get it. When people go out to them, like, I mean, there's very few times you've gone out where it's just been like a great night and everything went great and everything was simple and there was no drama at the end of the night and there was no tragedy later and then you didn't wake up fucking feeling like, where, why is my key still in my front door and shit like that, you know? That's not good.
We went out one time to a bar and drank. She had one, like...
half a beer.
Like half a beer. And she's like... she's like borderline on tears. And I'm like, Kate, why can't...
I wasn't on tears. I was just like... life is weird. No, and she, I was just like starting to take in.
I feel the same way though.
And she's like, I
it
feel
makes
like
me
I'm buzzed.
Feel weird.
It's weird. But, yeah.
Now, if I can have a nice glass of wine with food, I've also learned that you got to be eating at the same time and drinking water because we're tiny people.
But it tastes like poison. Wine to me tastes like you're drinking poison.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
You have to like, it's like shaving. You got to do it for like a week. Yeah. Every day you get one glass in and then after a while it tastes good.
But I get
I'm
it.
Very sensitive. Me I'm too. An empath. I mean, I can't wait to read your cards.
I can't wait either. So fucking stoked.
Yeah, so like for me, substances have just never taken. But the whole reason
I would like to have some time with you outside of this podcast, woman to woman.
Well,
I think I can get you to the next hump. I really do. I have been there. I get it. I know exactly what you're thinking. And it's just about removing some elements from being like looking at your mind as a house. And then all the experiences, like you haven't had the trauma, which we're so happy. Your house is so nice and clean. But our houses are a little bit more cluttered. And with that clutter in our houses, it's important that we know where to put it. And some experiences will never leave you, but they just belong in the attic and they don't need to come down. And if alcohol is what makes them run down that stairs, then you know what? You better not drink. Leave that shit right up there where it belongs, you know?
My therapist person, she talks about including everything.
Okay.
So I like the house thing where it's like you can't make anything leave the house.
No. I look at it like, if I was walking you through my living room, what would I show you first? What would I want you to see? What's tucked away for someone that I get to know better in my bedroom? And what's just in the attic because it's already fucking happened. It's going to be there till I move and I don't need to deal with it right now.
A lot of metaphors right now. Not a metaphor. What is it? Analogy.
You know,
analogy.
Metaphor, analogy. Yeah. I think that's the same.
One of those things. You know? Yeah. They're all the fucking same.
The therapist is always a great thing to really keep yourself on track too. But reading has helped me more than any person I ever spoke to. Because after a while, I look at the person, I'm like, you're getting in my fucking nerves. Can I get a new person? But then you got to explain. It's like dating.
I guess, you know what I mean?
Like at first you feel a real good connection where it's unconditional. And then eventually you start like getting regular.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you're like, man, I'm paying you to fucking talk right now. We're talking and I'm sick of you not making me excited anymore. You know, let's get a guy this time. Or let's get like the lady from Sopranos. Or like... It's just not like that, but reading has helped me the most.
Reading's good, too, because whatever resonates with you is true. You get to take in. Mm-hmm. And then what doesn't, you get to say, okay, whatever.
Are we dating?
You in the book?
You.
Oh, am I dating? No, I'm not dating.
Dating is so tough in New York.
I was are we dating? I'm like, Lisa, fine. Okay, let's do this.
That's fine.
I've never been with a woman. Fine.
I got this. We'll do this. I'll nest with you. Are you not dating because you don't want to, or are you dating because it's New York City and people are weird?
Well, I got out of something recently that was very intense. And
was it a roller coaster ride intense?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been on one of those.
But it's
rides.
Also like he's also very, very spiritual. And it was like intense in a whole other way where it's like we took it to like a weird place, not purposely, but like
fast.
It's not just like normal why things don't work. It's like, well, you know, like these aliens, it's like it goes to like a whole other
How
place
long were
of
you two
roller
together?
Coaster. Over a year, but okay. We like live together.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Ooh,
he's great, but
I've only lived with one person, and like the moving out thing is the worst experience of
brutal.
Your life. It's just brutal. After that, I was like, I want to be sure, for sure, for sure the next time. So I haven't done it since.
I mean, that's smart. It's definitely, I think definitely the next time I need to, I'm impulsive and we're talking about willpower.
Oh, impulsive,
I need
I
to work on that, on my willpower, impulsivity. So I want to know, so the next time I have the desire to watch porn, would you say, to step in and say that's not going to make me feel good after.
Is this what I'm doing
hump
right now?
A pillow,
productive. This is when we go to little meditation sites and we go to these nice little sayings and what do we call them?
Go to my quotes or my
memes.
Yeah,
all those things, and you reread them to yourself and whatever it is that brings you back to center, you know, and you say to yourself, this is not productive for the person that I want to be. And sure, it's a temptation. It's just like you would be with, you know, my bad habits
at the same time,
are having
right?
sex with people I shouldn't be having sex with. So this year I cleaned up that bad habit.
Good
I was like,
you.
All right, I'm going to do a weeding out process. I'm going to see some people and see who's staying on my bench, on my roster, who I'm keeping, who I'm just going to kick to the curb. Like the young kids, when I was on the road, if a kid would come at me and be like, yo, where you at? For some reason, I thought it was okay because I was so fucking bored on the road and I would text any dude that texted me. And now a guy does it to me and I'm like, who the fuck are you talking to like that? Where
yeah.
are you at? You don't come at me without fucking, I'm a 43-year-old woman. So like, probably need to block that guy. It was a useless fuck and you just did it because you were bored. Like, so I'm making better choices as the days go on.
Yeah, it's a journey, right? Learning how to do that.
And it's constant. And drinking,
yes.
I can't do because I'll go right back. Like,
yeah.
I'll go right back. Like, drinking, once I reach that person for a certain point, I'm like, yeah, you, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, I can't live like that. That's so irresponsible. Guy could kill me.
Yeah, no, it's hard. I totally relate in the sense of you get to a point where I think behavior that I would have tolerated out of men back in the day, I'm finally hitting a point where I'm just like, no, I don't want to be treated like that. That's not okay for me. And actually, it's because I had a dream 3 nights
ago. Let's hear this shit. Oh, God.
Because he really is, even though he hasn't had trauma, he's a very, like, creepy in a good way, wise soul.
That's an alleged statement, by the way.
No, he just, like, do you know what I mean? For being so young, he's figured out how to, he does have a sister.
That helps a lot. I really think having a sister gives you empathy because you start to see things happen to women when you're out and about and you would think, I wouldn't want that to happen to my sister. Like, where your sister tells you something that happened to her, and you're like, oh, I won't do that to a girl.
It's different, because my sister doesn't really talk to me about shit like that at all. I'm close to my mom, though. Like, I would consider myself a mama's boy.
Okay, that's great, because that's what gives you that compassion.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily like that. Like, I just feel like I've been able to deal with some of the bad things that have happened in a way that I won't let it affect...
The next girl,
or whatever it is. It's not a relationship...
Work.
Base is something else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just try to not let it, you know, affect my decision making or, you
don't
know, whatever's going to happen in the future.
And don't carry it with you.
Yeah, not at all. I've never done that. It's just been like normal.
Again, that's the biggest mistake people make in life. And your life is like carrying suitcases. And the more you carry with you, the heavier it fucking gets. Mm. And the heavier it is, the harder it is to just be mobile and get out there and live. And I always tell people, like, Deepak Chopra was probably the biggest game changer for me. I did
really?
A live seminar when I was 24 years old and sitting in front of him in person, and he walks into the room and he tells everybody to hold a breath, and everyone holds their breath, and he says, is it getting uncomfortable? Is it getting uncomfortable? And he says, you can let it go. And he says, doesn't it just feel better to let it go? He's like, you gotta let some shit go. And it was just a simple thing that he said, but I was like, yeah, you know what? That bothered me, you know, 15 years ago. You know, my parents are dicks. Okay, I'll let it go. You know,
yeah.
So you just gotta just move on.
Yeah. That's what I'm working on, is I think letting it go. Well, I'll tell you about the dream. So I had this dream and Joe appears in it. And I don't I think this might be the first time you've ever appeared in a dream for me.
Well, your first cameo.
And,
oh, boy.
And he was like, it was so funny. He came as like this wise soul where he was just like, listen, you are in a prison, but it's your own prison that you've created and you can walk out at any time you want. And
what did I look like?
You.
Well,
I was going to ask
what you were wearing. What was my first?
Like a robe
in my dreams,
or some shit.
I have to know what I was wearing.
No, it was typical Joe, and like you weren't dressed. You just, but like he said it in a way, because I think I was saying to him, he represents to me someone who's so wise and grounded that for some reason hearing him say it to me in the dream, and like it was a little longer, like I'm keeping some personal details out because he like went into some of my personal shit of like, look at this.
That's amazing.
This is why you're attached
that you
to that.
You remembered it is awesome too.
I woke up immediately after and I was like, kind of like taken back. It was one of those dreams where you're like, oh
where
my
you
God,
almost can't
I
fall
just had
back
knowledge
asleep.
Dropped on my ass.
Yeah.
And I saw it. He said it in a way where I saw it. I was like, okay, see my prison. And then the whole next day, I really was like, oh my gosh, I'm in a cage. The door's open. I'm the only one keeping myself from walking through that door. And that whole day, I was like, I don't know if I can walk through the door. I don't know if I can, you know? And then I just talked to myself. I was like, of course you can. You're strong enough. You're not that little scared girl anymore. You don't need these defense mechanisms. You don't need to talk to guys that aren't making you feel special.
Right.
And I did some big stuff the other day that I normally haven't. And I spoke up for myself and I was like, this, I need space. I need to do what's best for me. And it was like a big fucking moment.
That's fantastic. So,
party kid.
Your influence is big. And these are things that you should write down, you know, these things down so you can go back and look at them when you're having like a weak moment or a blah moment. You know, a gratitude journal before you go to bed is a great thing to do. If you write down 5 or 6 things you're thankful for every night before you go to bed, you will definitely have a more restful night's sleep and you get things just out there. And it could be something as simple as that your family is healthy or that your friends are good or that you got to see somebody that day or that you're able to pay your own bills. Whatever it is, that gratitude brings you right back down to basic. And basic,
because on the energetic level, if you're resonating at gratitude, the universe will just give you things to be
the
gracious. There you go. Exactly.
Secret.
We're all energy.
We're all energy.
I love that you're so on board with it.
So on board. Well, I have been since I got to see Chopra, and it made me want to read all these writers and see so many seminars. I thought if I learned one thing at each one, I'm going to be a really great person by 50. It's really a good benchmark to say, I just wanted my shit together. I want to be calm and rational. I want to be able to help and enable a lot of other people's success as well as my own. You know, I just want to have, my core values are very simple. I just want to have my security. I don't need a lot of things. And there's another documentary I just watched called Happy on Netflix.
Okay, I've seen it
super
on there.
Super sweet. But I love that it talked about intrinsic values and superficial values and that they show different types of families and they're not happier with no money as the people with money. These are not the things that intrinsically make us happy. So
yeah.
It's all coming together. You got it.
You're a beautiful person.
Thanks.
You are though. You have such good energy.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you're such a compassionate, giving person. So
yeah. I was blessed by knowing a woman to live to be 100, almost 102 years old.
Wow.
She died 2 days before her 102nd birthday. And she was my neighbor growing up, and she was never able to have her own children. And she was actually ahead of her time. She married a man who was previously married, and his wife passed away.
Okay.
And she took care of his 2 sons. Well, back then in the 40s, you know, you're talking, that was really looked down upon. So she was like this very cool older woman who was very open-minded. She had no judgments on what I did for a living. She asked, always would ask me, are you happy? Are you doing what you want to do? Do you feel good about it? You know, she would always ask me those things. And she was the only person in my life from birth until she passed. Mm-hmm. Whereas my parents have been in and out. I've had a chaotic childhood. And she was so good. And the things that I gravitate are really from her were just how real she was and how easy she was to be with and how she just really wanted the people that she met to feel good and have a better experience and just be better people after she met them. I mean, she was just, till the day she died, she was making lap blankets for what she called the old people at the nursing home. Okay? Like, so many people were in their 60s. And she'd be like,
the old people.
I've got to make blankets for the old people at the nursing home. And she taught me to sew. You know, she taught me to cook. She taught me to bake. We used to raise her garden together. She raised irises, and we would have a whole field of irises. And she would just leave baskets outside her garden. And anybody in the city that wanted to come and pick fresh fruits, vegetables, or flowers could come into her yard at any time and take what they wanted.
It's cool.
Yeah.
She sounds rad.
Yeah, she was totally rad. Game changer for me.
Yeah.
And she lived to be 101, so she's doing something right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Less stress, you know? Huh. I wanted to ask you also how you even got into porn.
So I was living in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Super small town.
That's where my ex-fiance before I got
is from
married.
Easton?
Yeah.
Shut Freedom. The front door. I think it was,
where are you from?
Yeah, I think it was like Freedom High
you're
School.
From there.
There's Freedom Wilson in Easton.
He did Freedom.
What was his last name?
Mancini.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's so much an Italian name. Of course, there's Mancini's, Caporas, the whole city's Rinaldi's.
That's
Mancini.
So funny.
So from there, I started dancing, and when I was 18, I went to this club in Reading, and this club was a nude club, and they had features coming in every week, and it was different porn stars, and back then, this was, you know, 1990, I'll say. You weren't even thought about yet.
That was close.
Were you born yet in 1990? Okay. So when were you born?
92.
Okay, so close. Oh.
Yeah.
I got disconnected. Hold on.
The semen was maybe in your dad's ball sack.
So,
no, semen gets replenished.
Semen,
no, yeah,
Jesus.
No, forget it.
So I started to look at these girls at Al's and I started to think, you know, this is pretty dope. I knew I was going to dance for a long time. The money was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wasn't connected to my family or any reason to not do it. So I started interviewing the porn stars that would talk to me every week. So I would sit outside their little dress room and I would ask them all these questions. So for 2 years, I conducted a pretty extensive survey, how to get on the box cover, what things I need to know, will someone kill me when I'm out there? And some of these girls were really helpful, and they gave me mailing addresses and people to reach out to. And so about every 6 months, I would hire a photographer myself. Now, think about this. At 18, I'm like, I'm pretty dope. I'm hiring people. Like, I didn't realize that until I wrote my book. And I was like, good for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Pulling the Sounds masses. Like you, in a sense, like at a young age, just kind of knowing
people.
How to
you
work
don't
the business.
You don't even realize what you're doing is you're starting to build your village. And you're just doing it because you're trying to do your thing, but you're helping others, too. You know, it's an awesome thing to be a part of. You got people editing your stuff and shooting
he
your stuff.
He edits himself.
He does. Yeah, today. He's fascinating. So I wrote to the companies, and you know, I got shut down a couple times. The first one, I had a huge Italian nose. Everyone was like, you got to get your nose fixed. Got the nose fixed. Let the swelling go down. Shot more pictures. Sent them out. You got to get boobs. Got the boobs. Like, I was just, like, dancing, meeting the girls, and then doing the tasks. And then after 2 years, we narrowed it down to about 6 companies that wanted to meet me. I bought a one-way ticket. I went out there and I met with this guy I'd never met with before, but all the girls recommended him. And he was like an exclusive agent where he would kind of take you around and meet certain people, and then you would do your contract and the company would pay him for that. So I didn't want to shoot a movie until I had a contract. I wanted to be on the box cover of all my movies. I wanted to have a PR schedule that could work around what I wanted to do, which was feature dancing, just like all those girls did at Al's. And those girls at that time were bringing in between $40,000 and $50,000 a week.
How the fuck?
This was because there was no porn on the internet.
Yeah.
This was the only way to really see girls. We weren't even doing lap dances. Lap dances weren't even legal yet. It was just the girl would come in and she would sell Polaroids and she would sell DVDs. And it was just a huge fan base back then. So
yeah,
it was a great time to get in. You could really legitimately brand yourself. Whereas I think now the girls, there's so many. It's a lot harder for them to brand themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can name like 5 porn stars, I feel like. But I know some of my friends that know, like, everyone. Like, my friends are going to... I haven't even told some of my friends that
we'll take a picture
talking.
Later. They'll lose their
they'll
shit.
They'll fucking... Yeah, they'll go insane.
Like, dude, tell her. Give her my number.
Did you guys fuck? I'm going to get that about 100... I'm just going to tell everyone,
wait till you post it on Insta.
I'll be like, yeah.
Be like, no,
in the middle of the whole
Kate
thing.
Kate and Lisa did.
Yeah.
They were scissoring. I had no time to...
During the whole podcast.
No, but, like, to get to... Like, I was wondering because, like, you know, like those casting couch pornos where it's like the guy's like, oh, well, you're going to have to blow me then.
And this
it's
like is why I did my homework. And
that
the girls,
it
was what was great was the girls gave me a list of people not to talk to in California.
Yeah.
And some of the girls were more jaded and they would just be like, if you ever meet this guy, don't talk to this guy. And then when I would hear 2 or 3 other girls also mention that guy, I was able to form an opinion. And when I met that guy, it was like stranger danger would go off in my head when I'd be at a porn event and that guy would walk up to me. I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy everybody talked about. Don't talk to him. So I was like young and spongy enough to be able to soak it all in. I didn't drink any alcohol until I was in my 30s, so I wasn't drinking or anything then, so I didn't have really, my weed was always just my thing. That was it. It was simple. So it was easy for me to get out there and not let it destruct me. But if you have any weaknesses at all and you get in that business, whether it's drugs or alcohol, you're doomed. And
It'll just be amplified.
And I brought friends out from Pennsylvania that wanted to get in the business too, and I couldn't believe it. I brought 2 girlfriends out back to back. Both of them started interacting with the wrong people immediately. Both of them started doing coke, and both of them I had to put back on a plane and say, this isn't for you.
Right.
Wow. You ready for your tarot card reading?
Oh my God, I'm
so
ready.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, so shuffle as much as you want and however you want.
Last time I did this was in Key West, and the time before, I like to do it on vacation. I did it in New Orleans when I was 19 years old.
Really? When's the last time you had a tarot card reading?
You had a tarot card reading on Bourbon Street?
Yeah, I thought it was such a cool thing to do, right? It was just, I can visually
out of all the things to do on Bourbon Street.
Well, I was 18. I did see a girl pick up quarters with her vagina and spit it into shot glasses.
Well, now we're talking.
I was fascinated. Okay, at that age,
I want to go there so bad.
I just wanted to interview her and be like, so, what piqued you to know you could do this?
That's what I want to know.
Where do you perfect it? Is there someone better than you?
Who taught you this?
Who taught you?
Exactly.
I need to know.
How do you see a quarter and go, you know what? I'm gonna try this out.
Yeah.
I can't even get that low. How the fuck can you even?
It's deep. It fascinates. Like, my mind starts reeling right away. I don't fall into the fantasy of it. I go
no,
into like,
I'm like, I want
to
fucking know the answers.
What do your parents think? Do they know? Is this a hereditary thing? Did you learn this at home?
You should be paid for this.
Do you get paid well? All right.
So.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
So normally it's a three card. I can do three or six card. So I was going to do three. But then the way you handed me the deck was with this, with the card up. So when that happens, when there's a card that kind of falls out or speaks to me on top of it, I take it as an extra message on top of the reading. So this is going to be
this
your extra
so
message.
Man, I didn't know I was going to get this done today.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the Three of Swords reversed, okay? And for the people can't see it, for those of you who can't, it's a heart with three swords going through it. It's a very intense card. And what it's saying is, in your past, you actually were very much guarding your heart. You didn't want to be vulnerable. You weren't ready at that point to really let yourself open up. So even though you were interested in, you know, connecting to yourself and the spiritual stuff, you weren't really ready to kind of put yourself out there in that way. And yeah, you were scared. But so I'm in a spiritual school, and one of my teachers, he says, in order to have a whole heart, you need to make friends with a broken heart, which most of us want to avoid because heartbreak is brutal, right. Obviously. So you were just, for a while, for a lot of your life, because I think there was a lot of heartbreak as a child in your home environment.
Oh, and up until this year, when I retired, there was a lot of heartbreak.
Good for you, though, because now it's like a new, we'll get into it. It's like fresh start stuff is happening right now. But yeah, that was more of the past of really guarding and protecting your heart and not really being ready to open yourself up in that way. But it's like a new phase is coming. Right?
I feel it.
It's here. And
I feel it also because I've been able to sit still more and read and really absorb what I'm reading. And I know that I wasn't absorbing as much. I could have read the same book 10 years ago and I wouldn't have pulled as much from it. It's very interesting. I don't have the TV on as much either. I play music more now.
Wow.
And it's like, I think those things are like just happening. I'm not forcing them to happen, but it's opening me up more.
Absolutely. You're in a new space. Yeah. And I was talking about that with one of my friends today, because with me making one of my first big good decisions.
Not your first.
You know what I mean, though? Like, I made a really healthy decision and I felt clear. This whole new space opens up. It feels empty, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So you can read a book and less
absorb it.
Yes, because
not
less
be distracted.
Thoughts are taking up space.
Yeah, and you sleep better, too.
Yes.
Because you don't have chatter when you're laying down or in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So you're in this space where it's something has opened up for you. Your heart and other things.
Good, because I'm seeing this guy that I want to be serious with next week.
Really? Well,
we've known each other since 2007, but we finally had the relationship talk, so now we're going to see.
Oh, boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Ten of Cups, it's about emotional fulfillment.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be with this guy, but it's saying that you will have everything you want. But what's interesting about the Ten of Cups is it looks like there's a happy, typical family on there. A message that goes with this card is, it's your emotional fulfillment. It doesn't have to look like that cookie cutter thing. Because everyone's got a different vibration.
Right.
I call it a soul song. So you're going to bring to
I
you.
I like that soul song. I'm using that.
You're going to bring to you what matches your frequency. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What your happiness is. But you deserve it. And I feel like, what's also clicking is the self-worth. Like, I deserve to be happy.
Right.
I deserve to interact
with people that I want to interact with.
Exactly. Because before you were kind of overriding it.
Yeah, justifying it.
Yeah.
Out of boredom or whatever your excuse is.
Which is what most of us do, I think.
Yeah.
That loneliness that we all feel, that kind of void, we try to fill it with all these external things.
Yep.
But you're finally going within and opening your heart, and it's opening up so much for you. And you have a glowy energy to you.
Thank you.
And a lot of people who are stars, like Oprah, big fan of Oprah.
Big fan. Okay, do you watch Broad City?
Yeah.
Do you love that they have the picture of Oprah above Alana's bed in her bedroom?
I love it.
That broken up photo of Oprah. I'm like, we gotta get a photo of Oprah for her. Like, I love it.
What was it? The second season, the first one,
I love
where
that
she
show
pegs.
So much.
Did you see that one where she pegs? That was like my favorite episode of
She's
all time
just
of anything.
She's standing there in the conversation with the strap on. Like, what do you mean? You want to
I
peg
love that peg? Show. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Back to you.
Where she pegs.
Right now is a good time also to be resting, to
sleep
more. Oh,
that's great, because I have been.
Yeah, it's about, because I feel like those thoughts have taken their toll on you throughout the years.
Yeah.
They were running, they were constant. So make sure that you give yourself the rest that your body is asking for without feeling bad about it.
Is it wrong right now to admit that I stayed in bed all day yesterday? I was productively watching football, doing some tweeting. My computer was with me, but it was a Bed Island kind of day. It wasn't even...
That's every Sunday. It's football.
But usually I'll move to the couch. I'm in a studio. Oh, okay. It's not that far, you know? Right. My lazy ass couldn't even get over to the couch yesterday.
You need that.
And then
you need those
days. You know, asleep before the Sunday night game ended, so I had to watch it this morning.
I was a little more... productive. I was on the recliner, then went to the couch, okay, and back to the recliner. So
you killed it.
I guess it's like a Sunday, but I think even for you, it doesn't even have to be a Sunday. I think you need to catch up on rest, whatever that means for you.
8 to 10 hours, which for the first up until January of this year, I only let myself sleep 4 hours a night, and I would do a nap every day. So for 20 some years, I did 4 hours because you get 3 days at the end of the week back, buddy, for productivity. Shave that sleep time when you're young.
All right,
you can do it. But now.
I'm like, don't do it. Rest now.
No joke. I feel better. I can work out harder. You're less bloated when you're more rested because you don't have as much. Everything's better.
And this is that rest is also allowing for the space as well. You're not as run down.
Sure, of course. You're more patient.
And your extra last card that kind of came out, it's the lovers. Now, it's not talking about, this is more talking about.
Happiness.
Yeah, but the lovers is talking about you're finally. Not focusing so much on the external and going within. It's about your connection to yourself, really getting into that spiritual part of yourself that I think you've always been really connected to, but now you're really going there and remembering that, that it's what we were talking about before. It's not within money, cars, all that other stuff that's going to actually bring fulfillment.
Right.
You know, you're realizing that you can have as much of that as you want,
right,
but it's that connection to self that really matters, and that's what's going on.
I love it. It's beautiful. All of them were great. No, I didn't die. There was no weird disease. Because they tell you bad shit sometimes, too.
They say you're going to get a disease?
Well, no, but they'll tell you, like, watch out. In 7 years, there's going to be this situation.
One time, my mom went to one of... I don't know if it was a tarot card or it was just, like, a psychic or some shit. And she told them that one of her sons got a girl pregnant. And my mom came home flipping out.
Freaking out.
She's like, what? Who the fuck?
Freaking out.
And I was like, Mom... What the fuck? No one is pregnant, Ma.
People have to be really careful about what quote unquote psychic you go to, because you have to go to someone who's really,
there's
not
400
that unhealed
on every
but
block,
who has good energy, positive energy, and they're not taking their bullshit and putting it onto
and
you.
And it should be somebody you've met, like we at least interacted for a bit of time. To walk in on a cold stranger and then just sit down and have them start checking you out, I feel like I want to wear the opposite of anything I would normally wear to throw them off. Like I'd walk in like a pair of Crocs, you know, and maybe some real baggy sweatpants just to see her judging me and trying to tell me who I am. But
yeah.
No.
She's like, I can tell you're very lazy and you don't work.
I agree with everything that you're saying. This past year, the first 6 months was chaotic, getting out of the business. There was a lot of backlash. There were a lot of people that made money off of me. See, I didn't tell anyone I was retiring. Because at the peak of me making money, I realized how many people were using me. And as that hit me and how used I felt after Palin, I realized I wanted to have a really strict plan for retirement. Mm. I was telling no one and that I would execute it. So when I went to execute it, there was backlash. First thing that happened, the distributor that had all of my product. So I took $500,000 of my savings and I invested in a production company to produce enough movies that could be about 28 total pieces that I could own, distribute as DVDs. They would also distribute them for VOD, cable sales, Europe. And I would get to own it for my website that would continue to give me updates for my website for the next 10 years because I can really stretch that content. The day I announced my retirement, he had a fire sale on all my product. He put all my product on 70% off sales. So now all these warehouses are stocking up because they know I'm not going to be in the business anymore. And what that did was it cut a passive income of $20,000 a month down to a zero income. So it was a shit show. And that took me about 6 months to straighten out, get all my product remastered, take it to another distributor. He wouldn't give me back my masters.
What an asshole.
I had 42,000 DVDs that I had paid for to be packaged, labeled, everything else. And the tricky thing he did was when I started my company, he said, well, I'm going to put my logo on your product because I distribute it. And I was like, whatever. I didn't think anything of it. So when it was done and I said, I want to have a truck come and pick up, I have court orders, I get my DVDs. He had them all ripped out of the cases. Now, the cases, I pay $350 for each. So think about 42 pieces, times 42,000 pieces times $3.50. I'm just eating this loss. They took them all out of the cases and threw them in boxes. So my guys come to pick it up, and it's just boxes of discs, all scratching each other, all like, I'm looking at it like, I just got fucked out of this. I just spent a ridiculous amount on a lawyer. You just did this, and now you hand me back my product like this.
And he was all just mad that he could no longer make money off of you?
It's just a really evil place. The business is doesn't want any woman to walk away ahead or feeling better about herself in any way, shape, or form. So it was just resistance on every level. And it was just because he could. And he loves going to court. And he has a lot more money than me. And he has no kids or family. So he will do these things just out of pure evil pleasure on his own. But it took me until June of living hell, from January to June, to actually sit down with a public defender and ask some real questions, because I was worried I was spending a ton of money with my lawyer. My retainer was at $30,000 a month from the go, because it's copyright law. It's all, but what you're doing is you're filing in all these different courts, and you're making the state a ton of money. You're making your lawyer a ton of money. And he's responding back with one sentence answers. So we have to keep sending him more shit. And by June, I sat down with a public defender, and she said, this will be in your life for at least 10 to 15 more years, and you can look at another $5 million if you want to hold on. Because even if you win, he's going to appeal, and if he wins, you're going to appeal. So is this in your – and it was that day I was allowed to just say, fuck it. I'm going to walk away from all of it and cut my losses. It was that court date where you're like – you're either in like Flynn for the next 5 years or you're going to walk away. And asking her those questions, I thought to myself, I've never really been hurt in the business. I had a pretty awesome career. My situation financially is still going to be okay. I took care of things very well. This is a bump, and it's a painful bump, but I'm never going to open another door if I keep having to walk down this hallway to fix this problem. Like, nothing new is going to come into my life. I just fucking just say, it's done.
You
I
let it go? Away.
I let it go. And it was it was great. It really helped. I mean, it just,
good
you know.
Good for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. But what an ass. Yeah, he's in a lot of pain. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of pain, that
just
guy.
Just a miserable little motherfucker.
So whatever your fucking name is, you're probably not listening to our podcast, but you need a tarot card reading.
And then and then he got people to join up against me, and they started this really nasty thing. And in January, I was presenting an award in an award show, and he had these girls sitting at his table. And I was standing, I went up, luckily first, and stood up, and he had this girl stand up, and she stood up, she was so proud. You dirty old fucking cunt, get your fucking fat ass off stage. Just like ripping me apart while I'm standing in front of about 500 people. And I'm like, all right. I had predicted something of the sort, so I had memorized a nice little thing, and I just said, this isn't about you tonight, this is about all the people that have come here for this show. I'd like to thank XBiz for putting this in. I went in. And I just walked over to them afterwards and said, thanks for having me up first, and I left. She rallied so many nasty people that I had hate on Twitter for about 4 or 5 months, and I thought, how fucking sad, you motherfuckers. I've been around since VHS. I'm the person that opened up many feature gigs for you girls, opened up the opportunity to host at nightclubs, legitimized a lot of things, fought a lot of directors. You selfish little trifling bitches are just so fucking stupid. Fuck all of you. I never responded on Twitter. But my first 10 days of January, there were death threats at my house every day in LA.
Nice.
I had my boobs redone. I'm stuck on stupid on the couch on meds, and I'm having the cops search my house every fucking day. I mean, the scene that started with one person that he let get into every other person, it affected every single aspect of my life. I was getting harassing phone calls on my radio show. It's funny because I was cleaning out my voicemail yesterday, and I re-listened to all the death threats, because some of them I would talk to the person, because it got to the point on like the 18th day. The first night was New Year's Eve, and I had my friend Kayla staying with me, and we were watching the J-Lo special, and my cell phone rings, and it's the caller ID is from my home phone. And I have a pretty big place in LA. It's 4 floors. So I answer the phone. I didn't answer the phone. I saw it was my home phone. I'm sorry. I didn't answer the phone. I put Kayla in front of the camera. I hit the panic button. I check the message. The message says, I'm coming downstairs to kill you. And of course, I believed it at that time because I hadn't had 18 more. Mm-hmm. And this was just all these fucking people just trying to fucking ruin me mentally. That's all this really was. It was one person on top of another giving out personal information of mine. You know, at one point, 10 days into it, the guy called and he completely read me a model release. He had my full name, my address, my driver's license, my social. You know, he's like, I'm a super hacker. I'm going to take everything you own. Like, I was going through this and I just realized, man, this is just a bunch of these motherfuckers fucking with me. It was a tumultuous start to my year.
When did this end? When did this?
It ended in June when I ended court.
Good for you. And now you have a whole fresh start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It was pretty fucking brutal. I was walking around my house with an illegal AK-47 at all fucking times for 3 weeks.
Jesus.
That's terrifying.
Thinking I'm fucking shooting some motherfucker.
So poor someone thing. Called you and was like, hey, I'm upstairs. I'm coming downstairs.
Right.
From her home phone.
I'm going to call you real quick.
When the cops come, they explain to me this is very common. They can use apps online now where you can spoof the phone number.
Right,
if you have
exactly.
someone's information, they say they hit up a lot of elderly people and they'll scam them and say they're either the IRS or they're and people fall for it and they give them like their info. So, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm happy you're here now and that all that stuff's been let go of. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you
you're
for great. Having me. Yes, we're going to hang out.
Yeah.
And you're going to go ballroom dancing with your beautiful girlfriend. I can't wait to hear
do
all about it.
Seriously. Why not? And videotape
Yo,
it.
She'll do crazy fucking sexual shit for you that she hasn't done
the way
already.
That she says that. It's like,
I'm telling you
I don't have
right
that
now.
Kind of thing. I wish
she's
I did.
Got it. She's
especially
got it.
Because you said no to her once. If you surprise her with it, oh, mind blown. What do you mean? You said no. I thought you'd never do that. Oh, just like I thought you'd never, you know.
You just acted out a whole scene. She's got the whole fucking, she's like, wait, all right, we're going to film this now.
It
forget about
my
it.
My day-to-day operations a lot. Whole Foo Guys Hawks.
My heart started beating quicker. You start doing the like, come on, do it. I was like,
I never thought you would ever.
Yeah.
And then all of a fucking sudden.
Well, where can they find you, our
you
listeners?
You can hit me up at The Real Lisa Ann on Twitter and on Instagram. And December 15th, I release my book titled The Life, and you're going to love it.
Aw. I'm going to read your book.
It really. You're
for
gonna
sure.
Like it.
You're going to read it and talk about it for like 5 years.
Maybe.
I really, really.
I started the my books I like.
Not for 5 years, because I started my second one already. So.
Did you really? Boy. Good for you. Uh-huh. Man, you're motivating me. Guys, if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter at the Kate Wolf. You can email me for a tarot card reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. Joe?
And if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, @JoeSantagato.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.